Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm John Scheel.
I am Adam Means.
And we are the Lost Treasures Podcast, and we want to thank our presenting sponsor, J. Arthur Scheel & Associates, a law firm dedicated to helping you with your intellectual property needs. Now, Adam, I understand that there are some opportunities for sponsorship of this podcast.
Yep. We are actually in some negotiations with some people right now. Haven't got all the paperwork details of that stuff done, but it's a great little start and I'm super excited, and I think you're pretty excited too.
I am. So if you are out there and you're like, hey, how do I jump in on the sponsorship game? What do they do? They email you, LostTreasuresAM@gmail.com. That's right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you might be out there planning your summer travels or your spring travels, and you might be hearing a bunch in the news lately about museums covering up Native American exhibits.
Yep.
And that is because the federal government has tightened up some rules from a 1990 law, the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. It's been revised to expedite repatriation. What is repatriation, you might ask?
Go ahead, John, tell them.
Well, so many museums have stuff that's out there, and by some estimates, there's 96,000 human remains.
Wow.
Yes, from Native American sites that were essentially pulled out of the ground for display purposes in the 1800s and early 1900s.
Gotcha.
And obviously through the rise of cultural awakening here and people realizing that that probably wasn't the right thing to do.
Right.
There's been a lot of lobbying efforts, and the United States has come around with the federal government saying, yes, we need to write some laws around this, and we need to push this back into the hands of the folks that where it matters most. I mean, just imagine if your great-grandfather were dug up and stuck on display.
Exactly.
Probably want them back. And so that's what this is all about. So you're probably going to see some news about this throughout the summer. The biggest issue is that the pandemic really kind of put a hurt on a lot of museums, and staffing is not adequate to handle the requirements of the law. So they're not able to get all the stuff back because it really does take experts to try and move this stuff and keep it preserved. Mm-hmm. And so instead of keeping them on display, which might violate the law and certainly might violate some cultural sensibilities, they are covering them up or taking them off display and putting them in their private collections or storage until they can handle the requirements of the law.
Right. I think when we were over at the Cincinnati Museum, they had all their Native American stuff off, I guess, off the show floor, I guess you'd say, or off the display cases.
That's
right.
And
so we couldn't even see anything. I mean, it was still fun to go. Like, we had, it was a good time.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Museum Center is a fantastic place.
Yes.
It really is.
Super nice.
But I think we were only able to see one small case of arrowheads.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the arrowheads...
Very small case compared to everything else that we looked at.
I think that the arrowheads are still stuff that maybe can be displayed, but there are certain looted anthropological finds that that have much more to do with the graves and funerary items and that sort of stuff that's much more sensitive. And so they're really trying to deal with that right now.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal. But we wanted to talk about that at the top of the show because we want to make sure that none of you are out there finding things and not handling it appropriately. We want to make sure that although we're super into this, I mean, obviously we're called Lost Treasures.
Right.
But if you're out there metal detecting and you find something, as we discussed last week, there was a gentleman in Australia who's fined quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we don't want that to happen to you. We want you to actually find money.
Mm-hmm. And just to go about it the right way. I think there, the way of looking at money in terms of finding things, you can approach the money thing a bunch of different ways. Through sharing it on social media, all that stuff too. But I think going through the right process, it's not your stuff. So
right. Well, and we're adding to the value of the world's history.
I agree.
Right?
I agree 100%. And just following the laws and doing it the right way. So that's what I recommend. I mean, that's what I've tried to do this whole time. And even though the process has taken itself almost 2 years, it's just part of the process. And so I have to be patient with it. So
right. Well, I want to say today's the day, right? That's what Mel Fisher said every day for 16 years.
That's so awesome.
If he had the patience to say that every single day, but then found billions of dollars worth of stuff.
Oh my goodness, so much stuff, dude. Yeah. Like, they're still finding stuff today. Like, it's still going on. It's not going to stop.
Billions of dollars under
and
the sea.
And it was, I mean, the wreckage area, the debris field was huge. And so it's just, you know, finding little pieces and finding more pieces.
Yeah.
But I thought some of the coolest stuff that he found, not to get off topic, was some of the emeralds. I thought that was really sweet.
Oh, yeah.
The emeralds were
stuff.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, in other recent news, recently, very recent, and it's very topical because obviously this is still going on, but due to the crisis that occurred from obviously the horrific attack on the music festival October 7th of last year in Israel, there a lot of folks were displaced. But as a result of that displacement, a young child, 11 years old, who was staying in a hotel on along the Dead Sea, you know, was done with school for the day, was walking along and found a coin.
Super old coin.
Yeah, it turns out this coin is 2,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll pull that up. It's pretty amazing that this stuff is still out there, still findable. But the young man's name was Nati Toyakar. Excuse me. And it was from the Hasmonean era of Israel. So a high priest, Alexander Yanai, who was a king and high priest, rare that he held that dual title. But they printed these coins, and the Israeli Antiquities are super proud of it.
And, super neat.
Yeah, this kid found it in February of 2024.
Nice.
And it's absolutely beautiful, just a beautiful coin. Minted 2,000 years ago, which is
so
just
neat.
Amazing.
Yep.
So, silver lining, good coming from obviously a bad situation over
right.
there. But what a beautiful thing. And all the folks there, his, you know, civic leaders coming to thank him for finding it and turning it in. Kid did the right thing.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super neat.
Really, really amazing. Now, in the world of metal detecting, another new story.
This one's pretty sweet, John.
Yeah, again, same week,
so,
February.
Looks like it was a metal detectorist unearthed a 1,500-year-old gold ring in Denmark. So the thing's pretty neat. I wish we could post this to show everybody. Maybe I'll put it on my Facebook and my some of my other social media. Amateur metal detectorist in Denmark has unearthed a rare gold ring that it may have belonged to previously unknown royal family with ties to the Kingdom of France. I was like, oh, that's super neat. We got to talk about that. So, yeah, looks like research at the National Museum of Denmark determined the piece of jewelry has much historical significance and may have belonged to a local royalty connected to the Merovingians.
Merovingians,
yeah. Excuse me. A dynasty of Frankish kings who ruled over parts of what is now France, Belgium, and Germany between the 5th and 8th centuries. It's super neat.
So the Merovingian was like a character in a movie once, and I always thought that name was super cool.
Yeah,
just
it is.
Hearing that.
Yeah. it is. Very hard to pronounce, so.
Yeah. I want to figure out which movie that was from, but
there it is. There's something from The Matrix right there. Merovingian.
The Merovingian, yeah. That's right. He was in The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
First thing that pops up, of course. But yeah, again, metal detector is finding something very, very, very old. 1,500 years, pretty old, man.
Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you've seen the show Ghosts.
Seen a couple episodes, yes, John.
I really think the American version is very funny. And every time
hilarious.
I think of Denmark now, I think of this Norse Viking character who is just so anti-Danes. He's just anti-Denmark.
Dude, I've seen him. He's hilarious.
Anyway, that cracked me up. But speaking of Denmark, there's another another story that just, again, these are just from just the past couple of weeks.
Yes.
So late January, archaeologists identified a runic inscription on a knife blade that dates back 2,000 years.
Super
this
cool.
This discovery was made by researchers from the Museum Odense, which probably from, that's probably Odin, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so the blade has been dated to around 8150, predating the runes, but the runes were found, and the archaeologist said it's one of the most amazing things an archaeologist can experience because it's an incredibly rare find.
Super neat.
So in Old Norse, the word that was found means little sword. Nice. So they carved it right there onto the blade.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Now, they're not sure if it was used in battle or a cherished possession that was a funerary offering, but it's incredibly rare that they find runes on a blade that old, and it's pretty darn cool. And again, this stuff just being discovered very, very recently.
2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, so neat.
Now, if we're going back 2,000 years, there was a find in northeastern Spain that was made a few years ago. But again, just recently, they were able to decipher. Now, the big thing in 2024 is going to be AI helping to discover.
I think that's neat.
Writing and runes and be able to determine that this is actually writing.
And translating different things as well.
That's it. So on a bronze hand that was 2,100 years old, there's a bronze hand with an inscription in a language that's related to antique Basque.
Wow.
Yes.
That thing does look super old.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wow. So they're relating this inscription to a language that was spoken in Europe more than 5,000 years ago.
Wow.
A Vasconic language, a group of languages that includes modern Basque. And until now, the only known ancient Vasconic texts were mainly a few words written on coins from the region.
Of course. Coins. Always goes back to coins.
Oh, right? It does. Now, I know that's over in Europe, but you know, we have talked about coinage quite a bit.
Yes.
And in the United States,
numismatics, correct,
yes,
John?
Yes. That's right. All you fellow numismatists out there. We love the big words.
AKA coin collectors.
Yep. We know that Native Americans had jewelry, and there is a fantastic find. Again, this was published February 14th, so Valentine's Day. Archaeologists found a record-breaking artifact at a site of a butchered mammoth in the United States. And it was a tube-shaped bone bead, which has been discovered. And there are a couple of different photographs online that you can see.
Eastern Wyoming, huh?
Eastern Wyoming, 13,000 years ago.
No big deal.
Yeah. And it's pretty amazing because this bone of a mammoth was actually carved into a bead.
Wow.
So we know they were making jewelry here in the United States.
I had heard that before as well. Like been able ornate jewelry, stuff like that was created by them.
Unbelievable. 13,000 years ago.
And you can see on that piece of bone, or it looks like it's cut, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a normal piece of bone. It definitely has marks on it.
Pretty incredible. Very, super very awesome. Small. Mm-hmm. But archaeologists from the University of Wyoming discovered the oldest known bead in the Americas so far. So I'm going to have to go visit that at some point. That's in Wyoming.
That's in a little drive there, John.
Yeah,
that'd be a flight, I think. I think we're flying there.
Yeah, well,
I'll drive to Arkansas. I don't care about that.
Well,
I'm not flying. I don't think I'm driving Wyoming, John.
Well, there's a lot to find along the way. And speaking of treasure hunts that you can find along the way, of course, we know about the Hocking Hills treasure hunt, which happens every year. But we just watched a little video from last year's treasure hunt.
Super nice trailer they had. That was really good.
And the young lady won $10,000.
Yep.
Which Cash. Is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, we hope they do that again, but what about another one that you know about?
Yeah, I was just going through a couple articles and something that popped up. So in Syracuse, New York, what they have is it's the Post Standard and Syracuse.com treasure hunt. And so what they do is they hide a medallion and in one of the, I can't really pronounce the name of the...
I'm going to guess Onondaga Valley.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Your linguistic skills are good. So the winner receives $2,000. So this is the 37th year of it. And a dad-to-be who had been searching, he'd been doing the treasure hunt every year for 10 years. He's the one who ended up finding the medallion and turned it in and got $2,000. So
amazing. Now launched that, didn't it start on Valentine's Day?
Yes, it did. So it took 6 days.
And 6 days.
Every day they drop a clue, right? So I was reading that little quote poem or whatever it was to you, but it was really just two sentences that were really quick. And then each day they put something out to try to lead you to the area, and I guess this dude did it, so that's pretty awesome.
All right, well, we'll put that on our list. The Onondaga Valley in Syracuse, we're going to have to go up there and check out their
treasure
hunt.
Super neat.
Now, I know that there are a bunch of lost treasures that are still hidden in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at a list, and there's a list that's published every year. I guess the Reader's Digest puts it out. But there's lost treasures in the United States that are still out there.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there were some that have been found, like Forrest Fenn.
Right.
He hid $5 million worth of gold, jewelry, and artifacts in a small bronze chest in the Rocky Mountains. And then he dropped clues in a poem, The Thrill of the Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Fenn dropped these clues, and sadly, some people died trying to find it. But in June of 2020, the treasure was finally found by a man who, again, he chose not to have his name published. So
yes.
He's mm-hmm. trying to be anonymous. You know, if I found a giant gold hoard like that Kentucky guy who found all the...
Those coins? I know.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
Now tell me, would you have your name published or would you hide it?
That is a very good question, John. Since I went the opposite route, I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to create though. You know, I'm trying to tell like a story, true story documentary type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that guy obviously wanted his privacy. I don't know if I'd do it. Like I'd want a little bit of credibility though, John. You know, come on, give me just a little slice of that pie right there.
I mean, you to me are the co-host of a podcast called Lost Treasure. So I think that if you found a lost treasure, you would probably talk about it.
Oh, I'm going to.
Okay. All right. I think we've settled that one. Yeah. However, there are folks out there that when they find these giant treasures, they don't want to be known.
Super good question. I mean, honestly, like people need to, if you're going to go look, you know what you're going to do after you find something,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to have to navigate both routes. You can be quiet about it, and that's cool. It's just, I mean, what's the difference between somebody winning the lottery and keeping their name, you know, anonymous as well?
Well, for me, the difference with the lottery is mm-hmm. that if I won the lottery, it wouldn't necessarily contribute to the history of the world.
That's true.
Right?
Very good point.
And maybe mm-hmm. it would just mean that I would have a couple extra guitars on my wall and maybe a little
soup
better
up the Miata.
Yeah. A little better recording
Your
studio.
Car's awesome, so.
But I don't know. I think if I found a lost treasure, I think it would be something that I'd probably want to bring to a museum or something.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like, you know, the stuff that I found that I want it to be displayed eventually, and hopefully the city works it out with me in that aspect.
Yeah.
And I've kind of, you know, I've told you before, I know what I'm kind of going to do with most of this stuff, and I want people to be able to see it. That's what I think it's about. I can always find more stuff. So
now tell me, you've got some things coming up this spring with mm-hmm. your treasure hunt mm-hmm. here in the Cincinnati area.
Yep.
And right now, it looks like late spring, maybe.
Yeah, late spring, maybe early summer. It might be around the time we did the GPR last year, which would be like early May.
Okay.
Kind of coordinate a couple things video wise so that we have the right equipment and everything too. I want to document everything. I've kind of done that from the beginning. I've showed you a bunch of stuff. And so that's really important to me, is the documentation of everything. But it's just really me just coordinating, you know, the excavation with the archaeology team and then my people back in Iowa. So
now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I know that you were on the Detecting History podcast.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you've got mm-hmm. another podcast, maybe the American Digger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Butch.
American Digger magazine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're going to appear with him at some point, and we may have him on this podcast.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're planning out, you know, having, I think, a good thing with this whole podcast world is building like these nice little partnerships with people, and we all have a similar passion, right? So Butch has been doing it for like 52 years and he's had that magazine out for a long time. So we're talking about getting him on, and then I'm going to go on his at some point. But then I think I would love to be able to, you know, set something up where we can go down there or something too, maybe on our way to Arkansas, John.
Yes.
I'm still thinking about those diamonds. So
if you haven't listened to previous episodes, definitely go back and check it out, because we talked about this crater of diamonds three times.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super unique. I mean, but it's, again, $13 to get in or something like that. And
yeah,
the potential's out there, right?
But they're finding them every day, folks.
Every single day. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, they found thousands upon thousands of diamonds there. So
yeah,
don't think it's something like not possible, because it's definitely possible. And the guy we just talked about, was 7.24 carat diamond given to his soon-to-be wife. I think that was cool.
I thought it was a neat story, mm-hmm. especially, you know, being around Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. Flying over here from France and then going on a little trip.
Yeah.
You know, it's about getting out and seeing the world.
Definitely.
Right?
And I definitely want to go places once this, you know, starts to unfold. I was going to ask you, John, like, what would you do? Would you definitely try to keep it quiet or, you know, trying to not put your name out there? You got a pretty good little persona on social media, so I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, my love is the ancient world. So right. I would love to go to some of these historical sites in Europe mm-hmm. and in Greece and the Near
like
East.
Like Stonehenge and stuff like that? What are you thinking?
So I studied classical humanities. So yep. The Latin world, the Greek world, the ancient Egyptian world. I think it's pretty fascinating that they just discovered the tomb of Alexander the Great's father.
I thought that was cool,
and
too.
They
I
identified
saw
all of that. They yep. identified Philip of Macedon and then his other son.
That's right.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and I read that article.
I can't recall, but maybe it was one of Alexander's sons also was buried there. But, you know, a family tomb, obviously, and that hadn't been looted completely. There was a hole in one of them, but
there was some parts, but that main area where they were located, I don't think was messed with at all.
Yeah. Which I think is super fascinating. So I'd love to go see that. I'd love to go see Egypt because they've just been finding in the area of Saqqara, they've been finding stuff that I've only been able to watch on Netflix and Amazon. There's a bunch of documentaries about the stuff that's out there. So I think that would be really fascinating. I think that just that whole region, just as it pertains to history, is super fascinating. So I would love to go see a bunch of that stuff. But, you know, since I live in the United States, the likelihood of me finding something pretty old, you know, especially in the Midwest, would probably be a Native American thing.
Right.
And I would, I think, obviously, we just spent a lot of time talking about the laws around that. So I think that would go straight to a museum. And I'd love to be able to say that I found something and contributed to history.
Yeah.
And we'll have to have Dr. Cook from Ohio State University back on.
I know. We need to do that. That'd be great.
You know, as he said last summer, and we might have mentioned this briefly in the early phases of our podcast, they're finding things that are very, very small, obviously, but 20,000 artifacts a summer in an area that is protected property. It's it's
already
right
been
along
looked
a
over,
creek.
And it's been looked over before too. You know,
University of Cincinnati and Harvard.
Nuts.
So now Ohio State University is digging, and they're finding things that could mean that the first area of corn agriculture, occurred right along the Little Miami River.
It's super neat
in the greater Cincinnati area.
And three different populations of people at certain times in that area too, I thought was neat. And of course they took all the good stuff first and then left all the other stuff.
That was
and
back,
when I say good stuff, I mean treasure and stuff. So.
Well, and that was back in the days with Harvard.
I get it.
I forget the archaeologist's name, but I'll have to, so one of you out there listening, you'll have to tell us. So he's considered the father of American archaeology. He worked
Putnam?
For Harvard. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good memory.
Well, there's
good
a Putnam job. Museum where I grew up in Iowa. So that always stuck out to me. And we'd go there for like field trips and stuff. You know,
I bet he flew out there and dug some stuff up too.
Oh, I'm sure he was digging up stuff all over the place.
Yeah. Like
there's no rules, right?
Yeah.
There's very little restrictions of what you can do concerning like the age of some of that stuff. Like, so I'm sure he was, whatever he did down here, he was probably doing out there too.
Well, and I'll point out for our listeners who I'm sure are going to say this out loud, but you know, there was very little rules, but there was also very little respect
exactly.
for the ancient cultures.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, if you look back into the neoclassical periods of the 1800s, although England was, you know, an imperial Europe was going to some of these places in the Near East and looting. And then of course that happened with Napoleon, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was a profound respect for the past, although maybe it took a different form because they dug it out of the ground, then stole it and ran away with it.
So true.
But it seems like they respected it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I don't think the Native Americans got the respect that they deserve.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
In multiple ways.
Yeah. So that's my little soapbox on that. But I do think that it's fascinating, and I love the fact that we're finding things from 13,000 years ago just now.
I know, and I think that when, I don't know if everything's going to come out slowly, but I think that'll just keep happening in North America. So I just think North America is just as old as everywhere else, man. It's just you got to go down deeper to find stuff.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's the case too. It's just really, really buried. But I think it'll keep happening. I love those articles like that, like showing, you know, stuff was actually made by people at that time when considering what we were actually told what was going on. So yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, and I think that they have definitively, or at least there's some discussion around the definitive mm-hmm. time frame of footprints that were found in White Sands, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they're thinking that they have definitively pinpointed that they were 23,000 years old.
That's unreal, isn't it?
It is unreal.
It's unreal. Yeah. It's pretty neat though too. So,
oh, it's amazing.
I just want stuff to keep being found. I think that's great.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to tell, like kind of off topic, but trying to get our archaeologist on here in April. So sometime she's super busy and that's what I figured. So
yeah.
But it'll be fun to have Cinder on and get her perspective on things and what she's done.
That's why archaeologists need us, because they're out there doing all this stuff and we're here in my office talking about it mm-hmm. and they need us.
I know a little bit.
Yeah. Their stories
and
out.
We can try to make it a little bit cooler. sounds hopefully, but I think, you know, combining all the stuff that we talk about, I think it's fun too. So it just gives you a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
All about different perspective. So.
Yeah, I agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that about does it for us on this episode. But we really appreciate each and every one of you. So definitely write us losttreasuresam@gmail.com and let us know if there's a treasure or a lost folktale or something that points to a mystery that was out there in your neck of the woods. We'd love to hear from you. And again, if you want to sponsor or you want to be a part of it, join us. We're happy to have you. And don't forget to click like and subscribe and follow and all that stuff.
Yep.
And tune in next week for more from Adam and John on the Lost Treasures podcast.